What truly matters in life? Career? Possessions? In Romans 8, Paul shows you how pursuing the things of the world leads to emptiness and even hostility towards God. But those filled with the Holy Spirit, they discover a different reality. Purpose fills their life, peace floods their hearts, and they have a friend who sticks closer than any brother. Welcome to the Wisdom Journey with Stephen Davey. This lesson is called Friends Forever.
When my youngest daughter, Charity, was around 2.5 years old, she couldn't pronounce her R's. And she brought to me some books to read to her one evening, and she sat down on a pillow beside me, ready to listen. But right before I began to read, she looked up at me, and she smiled, and she said, "You're my best friend." Isn't that great? You're my best friend. Now, I have to admit, she said the same thing to her mother, but that's beside the point. Well, as we sail back into Romans chapter 8, and I want to thank you for sailing along with me on this wisdom journey, by the way. The Apostle Paul has introduced us to our divine, eternally faithful friend. In fact, the entire world can be divided today into two camps, people who have this friend and people who don't. Well, this friend here, described by Paul, happens to be the Holy Spirit. When you placed your faith in Christ's atoning work on the cross on your behalf, you became the sanctuary, the temple of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Now, Paul is going to begin a series of contrasts that reveal differences between the believer who's indwelt by the Spirit and the unbeliever who is not. Romans chapter 8 now, here at verse 5, Paul writes, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit." So Paul here is actually describing, contrasting two dispositions. The Greek word phroneo, translated set their minds on, refers to the occupation of somebody's heart's desires, their, what we would call their obsession. What are you devoted to? Well, the truth is, what you're devoted to, what you love, well, that's what you think about. That's what you pursue. And frankly, that's who you become. One translation of Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7 puts it this way, "As a person thinks in his heart, so is he." What captivates your mind is what controls your life. Well, Paul now goes a step further and makes a contrast between two destinations. He writes here in verse 6, "To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace." In other words, living for your body, living for your money, your comfort, for the stuff of earth, well, that produces a death-like life, even before you die. But pursuing the Spirit gives purpose to your life and peace to your heart, even today. You know, the most unhappy people you might know are going to be people who have plenty of money to spare and no purpose in life beyond their own little address and their own little lives. The most unhappy, discontented people you'll ever meet are living in beautiful homes, but they have empty hearts and lives. Only the Spirit of God can give life and peace. Now here in verses 7 through 11, Paul is going to summarize the results of these two dispositions and these two destinations. He writes this, "For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God." Well, that's Romans chapter 1. "For it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot." That's Romans chapter 2. "Those who are in the flesh cannot please God." That's Romans 3 and 4. "You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Well, that's Romans 6 and 7. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Well, that's the beginning of Romans chapter 8. Beloved, here's the harsh truth, and I'm not saying it to be harsh, but to tell you the truth. People who are governed by their flesh and love the things of the flesh are the living dead. Their lives are empty, and they're also headed for eternal judgment from God. But people who are governed by the Spirit, who love the things of the Spirit of God, they are the living redeemed, and they're heading for eternal life with Christ. Now, unbelievers, as Paul writes here, well, they're hostile toward God. The truth is they really don't want God. The tragedy is that one day God's going to give them their wish. But in the meantime, they're going to discover through their lives that everything they believed in that led them away from God was really a deception. It was an empty promise that could never fulfill them. It could never give them life and peace. Paul says, life and peace come through the Holy Spirit. I've read the rather tragic story of Sir Arthur Keith. He was one of the great anatomists of the 20th century. As a young man, he attended evangelistic meetings in Edinburgh, and that was at a time when many students were committing their lives to Jesus Christ. He himself often felt, he would once write, on the verge of conversion, and yet he resisted the gospel. He rejected the gospel because he believed the biblical record of creation was, well, it was just a myth, and the Bible was all made up by men. Well, in the early years of his career, back in 1908, some bones, including a jawbone and some teeth, were discovered buried in a gravel pit just 40 miles from downtown London. Keith became intrigued by that discovery, which was announced at the Geological Society of London. It was proclaimed the evolutionary missing link between ape and man. In fact, they nicknamed the supposed link the Piltdown Man. The vast majority of paleoanthropologists worldwide, they hailed this great discovery of our human ancestor. Well, Piltdown Man became the obsession of Sir Arthur Keith. To him, those bones validated evolution. It was, he believed, the missing link. Keith wrote more on the Piltdown Man than anybody else. His best-selling and most famous book, entitled The Antiquity of Man, centered on the Piltdown fossils. Well, some 40 years later, in 1953, science actually caught up with speculation, and the British Museum announced that the Piltdown Man was a fraud. The jawbone was not much older than the year it was found. Somebody had treated the bones with iron salts to make them appear old. Scratch marks that had been invisible to the naked eye proved that the sharp teeth had been filed down. Sir Arthur Keith was 86 years old when the news came out that the fossil bones he'd trusted in and written about for 40 years, well, they were a hoax. The bones he believed proved creation a myth, was a fraud. His writings, his life career had been based on a myth. Can you imagine spending a lifetime believing in the wrong thing? Little more than a year before this venerated scholar died, he realized that he'd been deceived. The most important question, really, for you today is this: what are you believing today? What are you living for today? Who are you trusting in today? I can't imagine Sir Arthur Keith's disillusionment and anxiety just months before he died. I think of another man I knew personally, by way of contrast, the peace and confidence he had as he faced certain death. He was just a few hours from dying as I stood in his hospital room, and I was holding back my own tears, hardly able to speak. His wife was there by his bedside, singing quietly to him some of the great hymns of the faith and reading the Bible to him as he would come in and out of consciousness. He was my age, and we were in our early 40s at the time. As I got ready to go, knowing I'd probably never see him again this side of heaven, I leaned over the bed, not assuming that he could even hear me, and I said, "I'll see you later." He smiled, and I'll never forget, he whispered back with confidence, "Yes, you will." Well, the Bible promises that here in Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. Let me read it again. "He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." So thank God for your indwelling friend, this divine friend, the Spirit of God. He is your life-giving, life-leading, eternally faithful friend. And beloved, I want you to hear what God is saying to you today through this passage. If the Holy Spirit is your friend, you will be friends forever. Well, until next time, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey and a lesson called Friends Forever. This is The Wisdom Journey, a 3-year teaching series through all 66 books of the Bible. Stephen launched this series out of a conviction that your life can be marked by wisdom if you align your thoughts and actions with the Word of God. That's why he brings you these lessons each weekday. If you have a friend or loved one who does not know the Lord, and you'd like a resource to explain the gospel, you'll find one at wisdomonline.org/gospel. We have a brief explanation of the offer that God makes through Jesus Christ. We call it God's Wisdom for Your Heart. Again, you'll find it at wisdomonline.org/gospel. You'll also find it on the main screen of our smartphone app, and we have a print version available as well. I'm Scott Wiley, and for Stephen and the Wisdom team, I thank you for joining us. Join us next time to continue the Wisdom Journey.